I'm Terry Clark, and I want to welcome you to my podcast, Country Gold Backstage.
You're listening to Country Gold. I'm Terry Clark, and joining me this week is somebody who I have not seen in a very long time, Leanne Rimes. Thank you so much for doing this. It's been a while.
Hi. It has been a long time. It's so good to hear your voice.
Well, it's good to hear yours as well. You know, you're out on a special tour right now called The Story So Far, celebrating, and I can't believe I'm even saying this, 25th anniversary as a recording artist. I remember the first time I met you was at the Wild Horse Saloon, and you were signing autographs, and you were 13.
Oh my God. That's so crazy. It's so long ago. I know, it's wild. I'll be 40 in August, and like, I don't know. It's sometimes it seems like 60 years already, and then other times it's like, oh, it went by so fast. But yeah, it's wild to be celebrating 25 years at not even 40 yet.
That's crazy. And you know, it's funny because, and we'll get into this more, but Ashley McBride's a very good friend of mine, and we hang out, and you guys are like the same age, and she is,
I know,
you know, she's just now, her career is really taking off, and yours did when you were 13. And it's just gotta be so, I can't imagine fame at that age. It's hard enough for an adult to wrap their head around it. And what a whirlwind that must have been at that age. And I know your tour is about, you're calling it a storyteller show, and I'm sure there's a lot about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. By the way, I love Ashley. She's awesome. She's so fun. Such a cool chick. I'm excited to tour first off again, because it's been a lot of time of sitting at home, and, I love being out with the crowd. So yeah, there are going to be a lot of stories. I've wanted to do that. I saw Bruce Springsteen's, I didn't actually get to go see his his show on Broadway, but I saw it on Netflix, I believe. And I was so inspired by it that he tells so many great stories along with the songs. It's almost like the songs were an afterthought because storytelling was so good. Mm-hmm. And I like I said, I was inspired by it and wanted to do something similar. And you know, people, I think people feel like they've known me for so long. They know what they only know what they know of me. And you know, what maybe has been out in the world in the press for 20 something years. And I think it's nice to be able to share moments throughout, you know, that I remember throughout my career and my life, that maybe they haven't heard before. And it's a really intimate, I feel like my shows now are so intimate, and people just feel like they're in my living room. So I'm excited to celebrate 25 years and also to play new music. And it feels like there's some new energy behind that too. So yeah, it'll be fun.
That sounds amazing. So is it more of a stripped down type of production and band, or are you going out with full production, full band?
Yeah, it is stripped down. We're going out with, it's actually our full band's only three pieces anyway. So we play really loud with three pieces. But I'm having this incredible percussionist, that is, cause there's a lot of different world grooves and stuff I played around with on this new record. And I am just where my head's at creatively. I wanted to do something a little bit different than just regular drums. So we have this really badass percussionist that's coming on the road with us, and guitar, piano, and my guitarist plays piano too, and bass. And so it's fairly stripped back, but there's no, I think there's, it'll feel a lot more, a lot louder and a lot like really present, in both ways. Like, I think there'll be moments of really, very, very stripped back moments. And then, moments where we can really rock out, which I love too. So,
well, it sounds really, yeah, it sounds like a dynamic show, and those are my favorite shows anyway. I like to hear a song the way it was intended to be, you know, before producers and everybody get a hold of it. And you can really focus on the lyric and the melody more when it's stripped back like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's, to me, that's what my music is all about. It is about the storytelling. It's about, you know, helping people feel these emotions that they sometimes don't on a daily basis. I mean, for me, that's what music does, is it just is, it's so enlivening in that it might piss you off and make you cry, but like, at least you're alive. And so, right. I like to bring it all as far as emotionally to the show. And I think that's what I'm supporting when I think of the sounds that I'm creating, for sure.
Well, I always say if people wanted to just hear the songs, they could stay at home and, you know, play their Alexa or whatever. They want to get to know who you are and they want to feel something. And that's what I think we all missed so much during the pandemic was just that lack of connection and that energy being missing. You can't get that on a virtual show. It's just not the same.
Yeah, thing. That is so true. I, you know, for as many virtual shows as we did throughout the pandemic, it was nice to still be able to play and connect with people in some way, but you're right. Like it's, you know, the energy that it comes off a crowd and comes off a show live is just, it's so electric and it's a high. I mean, I've for a long time now, especially during the pandemic when we didn't have that high, you really, for me, I recognize like what a drug being on stage is because it is so electrifying and the connection there is really powerful.
Absolutely. And, you know, you have been at this a long time and I'm sure the first few years were a blur for you. I mean, I know they were for me and I was in my, you know, mid to late 20s and it was out of control and just in my own head. So, you know, have you been able to reflect on your career and look back on that time? And if so, what do you take away from it now?
It was a whirlwind and there's so many, I have very few memories of that time of my life. And my girlfriend who was with me on tour at the time for all of it, she has all these photos and memories herself that I'm like, we did that? We did what? Like, I don't remember that at all. So thank God there's photos. Thank God she took a buttload of photos and, I really don't remember a lot of it. I remember it being a beautiful time, like so much success and also a really challenging time. You know, my parents got divorced when I was 14, like a year into Blue taking off. And it was a bag of mixed emotions for sure. You know, I think that's what's interesting when people have such massive success, like you don't know what's going on in their life outside of that. You just see this one, you know, souped up version of who you think they are and what they have and their, you know, all the success they're having, but you don't understand the totality of the big picture. And so, it was great and it was hard. And, I think my mind, it's amazing what the mind can do of protecting you by not remembering certain things. So it's, you know, when I look back at photos, like I see a girl who's going through a lot, but I'm really proud of her and proud of her for surviving. Mm-hmm. You know, this insanity that was her life. And I think I've always said my biggest accomplishment is actually like making it to 40 and somewhat being sane. I wouldn't call me completely sane, but being somewhat sane and, you know, I've gone through all that I've gone through publicly and, still, I think for me now, like being actually more authentic and open than ever and creating music that, you know, that expresses that too. So, I think I've been through it and I'm proud of myself for being where I'm at.
Yeah, I remember that first time I met you. Blue was the big number one hit. And I remember going up to you because I could just see what was going on. And part of me was, feeling almost like I didn't even know you, but sort of protective because I had seen what was going on in the business, just even with stuff I was going through. And I looked at you and I said, just don't let this change you. And, you know, because it is, it's just a head trip and it's crazy. And you have turned out to be a very level-headed adult. And I've got to hand it to you because not everybody does. And that strength and character in your upbringing and who you are. So you should be really proud of yourself.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people who started my age, you know, it's not like I have a lot of people I can call. Most of them aren't here anymore. And that's sad, like to really think about. And so, yeah, I think it is, I think it's a testament to my strength and my fight, my will to fight, not others, but the will to fight for myself. And yeah, I think that's pulled me through a lot of things.
That's amazing. I was going to ask you about Blue. Is that a song you have to do in your show still or people just, you know, start throwing things?
Probably. I don't think I've ever walked off without singing Blue. I have walked off without singing How Do I Live a couple times. I was just like, I'm not feeling it tonight. and maybe like a couple other songs. But yeah, Blue is one of those. I've never gotten sick of Blue. I think it's such a classic. It's mm-hmm. one of those songs that doesn't, it was so already like, so dated already in the coolest of ways that it was so timeless. And so I've played around with it. We've done a jazz version of it. Like we've done so many, yeah, we've done like some random stuff with it before. We've swung it harder. Like it's been fun to play around with to see what we can come up with. But yeah, I do it all the time. And it's the one song that I love all of my songs, but that one in particular is just so classic.
When is something is classic sounding like that, you can do anything to it. Like when you look at other classics that people have recorded and how many times they've been re-recorded by other people in different ways, it still stands the test of time. So you're right about that.
Yeah.
Speaking about standing the test of time, you just did a CMT Crossroads with some current female artists, mm-hmm. including Ashley McBride, who we just talked about, Carly Pierce.
Yes.
Brandi Clark was joined you for that. And it's interesting to see your influence on other people in music and in other places. You know, how does it feel to know that you've influenced people?
It is trippy. I mean, you know, between Brandi and Carly and Mickey and Ashley, like we're all very similar ages. Some of us are the same age, and a lot of them are just, you know, their careers are just kicking off. And that's what's wild to me is we're all similar ages, but I just started as a fetus. So that's what happens. But it's amazing. I feel like all of those women are very unique and they all bring their uniqueness to the table. And I think that's what's so cool is, you know, my music, and I've influenced people from all different walks of life. And that makes me really happy. Like I think that speaks to who I am and my music and the wide net, I guess, that I've cast for the last 25 years. And yeah, it's beautiful to see. And I had to kind of brace myself and take all of that in because it was rough for a moment. Yeah. I was like, I can't take all this love in at one time. Wow. But I think I've come to a place now in my life where I was able to let it in. And it was a really sweet moment.
Well, and you know, Carly, Mickey, Ashley, and Brandi are all completely different sounding artists. So
yeah,
that says totally. A lot for, you know, your brushstroke on overall with all of these women who sound completely different, and that you had, you've had going from Blue to How Do I Live to some of your other hits that all, you know, they covered a lot of territory stylistically, yeah. which, and you're a great singer and, you know, they're all great singers in their own right. So I think it's amazing. And I'm glad that you were surrounded by all that love. You deserve it because you're celebrating your 25th anniversary. And
yes.
you know, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Speaking of, you know, Tanya Tucker just celebrated her 50th anniversary of the Delta Dawn. Have you ever just sat and commiserated with her over like you two are the same? Come on. I gotta know. I would love to be a fly on the wall for that conversation. What kind of advice did she give you?
I love her. She cracks me up. You know, what's so funny is that I remember when I was younger, everybody would compare me to Tanya Tucker and they were like, she's the next Tanya Tucker. And they would say that in like a very condescending way, you know, like we don't want another Tanya Tucker in this industry. It was kind of like and I remember thinking as a kid, like I just kind of didn't understand anything and neither did I care about that. And now to know her and to know what we've both been through and the way people, you know, the way we were so young and we all both had, you know, very colorful lives and the way people like to judge and whatever lens they like to look through. You know, it's so interesting because I relate so much to her now in so many ways. And what we've been through. So it's, you know, she's always been so kind. That woman would give you the shirt off her back. Like she's so sweet. And in fact, I was just with her. She did a Tanya and Friends to celebrate her 50th of Delta Dawn at the Ryman the other night. And I was just happened to be in town. So I went over and sang with her. And, she's a blast. She knows how to have a good time. She knows who she is. And I just love it. I really have great respect for her, and she's a great woman.
Never a dull moment when she's in the
room.
Never
a dull moment, for sure.
And you just never know what's going to come out of her mouth.
No, you don't. And that's what I love about her so much. She's just her.
On that subject, which artists would you say have given you the best or most memorable advice, you know, in your entire career? You must have gotten a lot of advice early on, especially.
You know, somebody just asked me this the other day. Steven Tyler is the first one that comes to mind. He was always so super sweet to me and pulled me backstage one time at a show. I remember I used to go, and when I had days off on my tour, my girlfriend and I would just go like fly randomly to see different artists. And Aerosmith was one of them. We'd fly to see wherever. It was just, we just loved them. And he pulled me backstage one time and he had me lay on the couch while he laid on the floor. And he just wanted to talk to me about the business and how, you know, it could be very deceiving and people can hurt you. And like, I think I was 15 and he just really cared. You know, he had a daughter that was probably my age at the time. And he was really concerned about me. It was very, very sweet. And it's interesting in my career, like being so young, I got advice, but it was a lot of people who were very standoffish to me because I was a baby, and everybody was, you know, at least 10 years older than me. And I didn't have a lot of friendships in the business. And I think that was one beautiful thing about Crossroads, is that I've, you know, made friends with women in this industry now. I feel like I have solid, you know, good friendships that are uplifting and supportive. And I went through, you know, my whole career really without having that, and which can be incredibly lonely. So I think that was one of the more challenging things about being so young in an industry where there was not a lot of people my age. So it's nice to have that now, for sure.
Well, and you know what, if I can make an observation about, you know, the mid 90s to late 90s, when everything happened for you, and I was out there too, and that there were a lot of women at the top of the charts. I mean, there was Shania and mm-hmm. you and Martina and Faith, and it was just on and on and on. And there, and then there was this long lull where women weren't getting played at radio as much. And yeah. I think now there's been this resurgence of camaraderie, and we lift each other up more now and look at each other less as competition and more as a sisterhood.
Yeah,
that's my sense. And I don't know if you feel it. You were a lot younger than me back then too, so it may have felt different to you anyway, but that's my take too. I feel like there's a much more of a support system to each other these days.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's just too, in the natural swing of things that's happening with women, not just in our industry, but just in general, of where we are coming back to the sisterhood. And you know, I'm an only child. So on top of not having anybody, any kind of support like that in the industry, I also was, you know, I had no siblings. And so it was very lonely. But I think, like you're saying, there has been the shift, and it is nice to see. It's nice to experience. Because there was, I think just in general, and for women in the 90s and early 2000s, there was just, it always seemed like we were fighting for, you know, that one place. And there wasn't a lot of places for women. So I think that has shifted for sure.
Well, you're formally invited to the next Ashley McBride, Terry Clark.
Please, I would love it.
Whiskey drinking guitar playing party.
Let's do it. I'm so down. I would love it.
You know, as you were getting into your 20s, you did the Poets and Pirates Stadium Tour with Kenny Chesney. Mm-hmm. And you know, we play a lot of Kenny's records. Are you guys friends? You started out right around the same time.
Kenny and I, we have known each other for a long time. We had a blast on that tour, gave each other a lot of crap. And mm-hmm. Kenny, I have a funny story about Kenny. When I was on that tour, there was what we call an ego ramp, like in the front of the stage. Mm-hmm. And we weren't supposed to use the ego ramp. And I'm like, in my mind, I was like, I'm not playing a stadium and not using this ramp, because there's a gazillion people in front of me and I'm going to go see them. And so I just walked on the ramp the first night of the show. I was like, screw this. And man, we had a whole conversation the next morning, and I'm like, I'm sorry, but I'm using that ramp. I ended up using the ramp for the whole tour.
But I could just see you walking out there and putting one foot forward on the ramp and then looking behind you.
I was like, I'm going out. And he, you know what? He actually, the next day, he totally respected it. He's like, all right, go use the ramp. So I had a blast, and I love him. He's a good guy.
That's awesome. I wanted to bring up the Judds, but they were a huge influence on me and so many people, and they're about to become the newest members of the Country Music Hall of Fame. So their career as a duo was kind of winding down when your career was taking off. So I was wondering if Wynonna or the Judds had any kind of influence on you as a singer.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I listened to so much of the Judds when I was a kid and toured with Wynonna actually when I first started out. Such a powerful voice and she knew how to choose a great song. The storytelling behind their songs and hers too, were just always some of my favorite stories. So yeah, they've been hugely influential and, so cool to see them together again.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, Wynonna was really pretty young when she started, not as young as you and Tanya, but she was still in her teens when
she was in her teens, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure that she would be somebody that would be an advocate too. It would have been, you know, at that time.
Oh, for sure. She always was. I think we should get Tanya and myself and Wynonna together for a conversation. God. That would be amazing.
That would be amazing. I want to give that interview. I'm throwing my hat in the ring for that.
Yes. One. Yeah. You're so good at this too. I love talking to you. Thank you so much.
Well, I love talking to you too. You're so sweet. And like, I've been like looking at the social media stuff and the stuff with you and the girls from the CMT Crossroads. And I'm just really proud of the woman you've become. I know this sounds stupid. I sound like your mother saying this, but just knowing how hard that must have been for you. People think fame is also great. It's not. And it's hard for anybody. So I think you've done amazing things. And I also see you're releasing a new album.
Yes, well, I am.
It's called God's Work. Tell us about it. It's coming out in September, right?
Yeah, September 16th. Everyone can pre-order it now. There are some new songs off of it that have been released. God's Work is so interesting to release new music right now because it feels like a different timestamp for me. It's like I'm celebrating 25 years and then starting this new chapter. And it really takes a look at the duality of life and the light and the dark of things and how it all is a part of creation. And I have a podcast called Holy Human, and really it's kind of they both go hand in hand, I feel, with the messaging in that, you know, we are completely human and all our humanity, and also we are completely holy, and knowing that we can't be whole without both of those parts of ourselves being celebrated and recognized and in all their glory. So for me, that's what the record is. It takes a look at so many different sides of life and love and womanhood. And I've been saying it'll make you feel all the things. It'll pull at your heartstrings. It'll piss you off and all of it. So it's my favorite kind of record.
Well, you sound like you're at a very, very honest, organic place in your life, and that you've spent a lot of time working on yourself and self-discovery. I am really, really looking forward to hearing it. And I just want to thank you so much for speaking with me today, Leanne Rimes. And a reminder that Leanne Rimes is on her The Story So Far tour through July 24th. And for all the dates, you guys can go to leannerimes.com. The new album, God's Work, will be out September 16th. And I want to thank you, Leanne, so much for joining me this week
thank
on Country you. Gold.
Good to talk to you. I'll see you soon somewhere in Nashville at Drinking Suburban.
Let's do it. Country Gold with Terry Clark.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.